History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
On KMOX. Man, it's so too bad the stream ended.
Man.
Wheeler is straight up wearing a feather boa.
It's kind of cozy.
Don't worry, I have photo evidence that will be posted.
It's kind of cozy.
Excellent. Dr. Kathy Maupin is here. It is her 24th anniversary of BioBalance Health. Congratulations.
Thank you. We thought we'd bring the party to you.
Yeah, so, I appreciate it. Such good work.
Dave had a boa too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And a hat.
And a hat.
And
yep.
Not the first time I've had a boa on. So
yeah, well, that's
letting you know.
Usually it's only Saturday night.
Dr. Yeah, Rachel Sullivan is also with us by phone. Hello, Doc. How are you?
Hey, good. Happy to be here.
And congratulations to you as well.
Oh, thank you so much. I got 11 out of the 24 as a physician.
Not bad.
I was like, 24 years ago, I was just cleaning the floors, taking out the trash. The old enterprise method. Start at the bottom, yeah. Work your way up.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought it worked.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I know your personal story. I don't think I know the story of how BioBalance came around, though.
Oh, well, BioBalance came around because I needed pellets and I didn't know I needed pellets. And I found a doctor who would then treat me and then train me in pellets. Then I started thinking, oh, well, I'll offer this to my patients. So I trained some of my staff and I thought it was just going to be a little offshoot. Then it exploded. Everybody wanted to come in. They wanted pellets. And I did both practices, OBGYN and BioBalance, yeah, for quite a few years.
I've yet to run into a person who either you delivered their baby or you delivered their grandbaby. Like, how many babies did you deliver?
I mean, thousands. Wow. Thousands. I mean, in residency, it's like every couple minutes you're delivering, wow, another baby. But after that, it comes down to about, I don't know, 12, 15 a month.
Yeah. 24-hour day, kind,
yeah,
of.
Yeah, right. And 29 years of that.
Wow. So you brought a lot of life into the world, and you've given a lot of life back to people who've lost their mojo.
You're right. I have.
Pretty good track record.
And I gave life to one child, who is Rachel.
Yeah.
and she is the best partner I've ever had.
That's great.
I mean, she gets it. She gets it.
Rach, did you ever?
Yes. Although I am parenting right now as well.
Yeah. Rach, did you ever seriously consider another career, or was this pretty much it?
Well, so it was interesting. I thought I really wanted to go into business because, you know, when your mom's an OBGYN and everyone loves her so much, she's delivering babies 24/7. And I just thought, you know, maybe a 9-to-5 wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. So I can be,
yeah,
so I can have a little bit of better of a schedule. And then, you know, the more and more I volunteered in college and high school, and the more and more I was like, you know what, medicine's just calling me. So I still kept my business degree. And I used that. I was like, you know, you really need this for, you know, a medical practice to be successful. Mm-hmm. So I kept that. And I said, you know, Mom, I'm actually, you know, surprised. I'm looking at medical school. She's like, of course you are. I've just been waiting. And I said, I'd already done all my pre-med recs anyway, because I loved science. And I said, you know, I'm trying to decide between MD and DO. She said, be a DO. All of my DO residents are like, they know how to talk to patients. Like, don't have to worry about getting phone calls later. You're really going to learn how to talk to people and you're going to learn the medical side. And I said, okay, great. So I did. And then I said, you know, I'm really looking at residencies. I really love delivering babies, but I really want to do so much more. I feel like I can do a lot of things. And she said, be a family doctor. She's like, you know how to deliver babies. You're going to do all this stuff, but you need to find somewhere where you can learn everything because I might need you someday. I might need you to teach me some stuff. So during residency, I was calling my mom and we were talking about blood pressure management and kidney disease and diabetes and all this stuff. And she's like, man, she went to residency twice, really.
Yeah.
We went to residency together, learned a lot of things, talked a lot about a lot of things. And the more and more we talked, she's like, we can really incorporate all of this into BioBalance. And instead of, you know, really just being BioBalance hormones, this BioBalance health really, really took flight. And she had the vision to really incorporate all of these things. And then I, you know, kind of brought the extra knowledge and the newer stuff. And, you know, here we are today doing hormones and, you know, 100 other things for our, like our patients and ourselves. It's amazing.
Rach, how many minutes did you consider being a lawyer like your dad?
Actually, I was mostly told I should be a lawyer because I win every argument.
Okay.
She's won arguments since she was 6 years old. Wow. I mean, every argument with me since she was 6 years old.
Wow.
But, man, that's a lot of paperwork, even more than being a doctor.
Yeah. No, I can vouch.
Honestly.
Yeah. You've got a brain for this.
So, for Rachel and Kathy, obviously, a very rewarding thing that you do now, a rewarding medical practice. What's the best part of it? What makes you feel the best when you go home?
Well, I have never been in a I've never been in a practice before where people said, "Oh my gosh, you saved my life!" Like every day. I mean, I could have delivered, you know, 100 babies, and I didn't hear that. But honestly, they'd say, "I am so much better. I'm back. Now I can go to work. Now I can take care of my family." Yeah. I mean, to me, that's like my juice. That makes me really excited.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love when patients come in, they say, "I've been looking forward to this appointment." I'm like, when I did primary care, they're like, "Oh, back again." You know, they're like, "I haven't changed anything and I'm not better. And I don't, I didn't really try because there's nothing really in it for a lot of, they don't really realize how sick they are. And our patients, they just really want to be better and they really want to try and they really want to see their scale change and their in-bodies change. They want to see their blood work change and they're so excited to see the change that we can make together. And it's just so fun when like a patient's excited to see you. That's the craziest thing as a doctor. They're like, can't wait. That's just wild in the medical field. It's amazing.
And let's talk about
guy in my office.
Wow, look at that. Nice.
Yeah.
So it's BioBalance Health. It's not just BioBalance Testosterone. Mm-mm. I know you guys do the GLPs, mm-hmm. and if someone takes a blood test and their testosterone is fine, mm-hmm. you will either help them to figure out what it is, mm-hmm. or you'll get them to a doctor who can do that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah. But go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, the best part about this is that, you know, when you see us, we've already done your blood work. We've already seen your questionnaire. We've already seen information on you and we know a lot about you and we can tell you, like, we're not wasting your time, right? Like you're not getting on an appointment and we say, "Hey, guess what? Everything's fine." We say, "Hey, we've already seen everything and you actually need us, like, and we can help you with this. But if you don't, we're going to tell you that too." Now, obviously, you can state your case. If you really think you need something, you can come in and discuss with us. But we also don't want to waste your time and we don't want to waste your money. Time is crucial and life is short.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When did BioBalance Skin come along?
It came along in 2010. But honestly, I always had a room in my BioBalance Health for hair removal. And I mean, I always had one of my staff trained.
Mostly for
or
John.
Two of them. Yeah, mostly for John.
I was saying, more of a passion project.
Yeah, it was more of a fun project. And I always had somebody because patients love looking great. And then we finally got our own office in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it exploded after that.
Yeah.
So BioBalance Skin is they're both fun. But it's really fun to get to use lasers and Moxies. And I mean, we have every high tech thing and it can really, I'm an example of using everything.
And I bet a lot of patients are like me where they go to both places.
Right. Yeah. And I want them to because they feel good on the inside. I want them to look as good as they feel.
Yeah. How are things advancing? Let's go back to the hormone testosterone replacement. Are things moving quickly in that genre? Like, do you see things like, "Oh, now we got this, now we got that"?
Not really. I mean, in general, we're using the same pellets. I mean, that has not changed. But the fact that the FDA now said, "Oh yeah, women need estrogen," that kind of changed a lot of things. And mm-hmm. we got a lot of patients who waited for that, waited 20 years for that. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing that those 20 years. So that has changed. There's a lot of research on testosterone and men, not a lot on women. So we're waiting for that. What were you going to say, Rach?
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, I think for us, really what we're seeing is we're seeing a lot more people talk about it. And I think a lot of people are trying to finally just come around to the discussion and just recognizing that this is an issue that you can't control. The only thing that you can, you can control that you are alive more than 40 years on this planet. You know, like, this is how far you've gotten. But, you know, why do you not feel the same way? Or why are things changing for you? And I think that we're just talking about it a lot more. I think social media is amazing for that. And I'm glad people are finally discussing it. I really think a lot of the information that we're hearing are a lot of people just kind of slowly catching up to what we've already been doing for 24 years.
That's a really good point.
You know, it's great. I'm really happy, like, to hear that people are even discussing it and knowing what low testosterone is and knowing it doesn't just affect men and perimenopause is real and that it can be fixed. And, you know, there's a lot of really good, positive information, but I think a lot of it right now is just kind of catching up to what we've been screaming from the rooftops.
Yeah. Speaking of the perimenopause and menopause, Trish Gazelle, who also represents you, who's also a patient, one of my best friends in the world. She was on the show a couple weeks ago and she did my live with me and she was talking about herself. She's very open like that, like I am. And she said that she was sort of in perimenopause and suffering and went on the pellet and it kind of stopped. Now, you can't promise that for everyone, but it certainly took care of it for Trish.
That's pretty much what we do. I mean, it does. It treats that. So that means all those symptoms stop.
Yeah. I've never asked you, Kath. We would get together all the time, you and I, and you'd go, I can tell you don't need testosterone. I'd be like, hubba hubba. And I'm like, I hope you don't have a giant 8-foot-tall husband at home. But then one day at Schneidhorst, you went, you should come see me. What was that?
The blood flow to your face didn't look as good, and your muscle mass had decreased.
Wow.
And so because I know you, I mean, I can't, like, look at a stranger, but I can look at people I know and follow their progress and kind of go, oh, yeah, that the things that testosterone does is elevate, you know, tightens your skin and makes your muscles bigger, especially for men. And it makes you stand up straight. And, it affects your walk. And you just looked fatigued and just a little peaked and your muscles look like, and your shoulders, you got great muscles. It looked like they were just kind of like shrinking a little. I mean, I'm pretty detailed.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at every little thing that nobody else would probably see except Rachel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty, that makes sense. That makes sense. So for anyone who, what should people look for? And when should they look for it? Like, if there's a 38-year-old out there who's not feeling great, like, at what point do you go, yeah, you really should come in?
Rach, you're on.
I always say, you know, if you're really above the age of 35 and you're noticing, and I always say you really want to be done having children to really start looking into this. Because a lot of the things we do, they're not tested in people who are either trying to get pregnant, like men or women who are pregnant or trying to get pregnant. So we don't want to recommend anything when you're trying to have kids or wanting to have kids. We just don't want to get in the way of any of that. But if you're over the age of 35, you're finished having kids and you're starting to notice some changes, are you feeling more tired? Is your sex drive changing? Are you just feeling like maybe you're going to the gym and you're not getting the results you used to? Or you go to the gym and if you skip a day, you notice that basically you go back to, you know, where you were, you know, a week ago. If you're starting to notice some changes, things where you're not sleeping as well, you're more irritated, you're more anxious about things you never even thought about before, things that start to really affect your life and your relationships and your work, it's time to start looking into this. Because catching this as soon as possible and treating it as soon as possible is only going to make your life and your longevity better. It's going to decrease your disease risk and not even have to reverse things, right? If we can catch things before they even happen, this would be a lot better. So really the sooner you notice it, and what's the harm in getting your labs drawn, right? If you get your labs drawn and there's nothing wrong with you, great.
Yeah.
Great job. There's nothing wrong with you. Or there's something wrong with you that doesn't need a pellet. You know, at least you know where you are with your blood work. And I think that's a really important thing. So if you know something, notice something that's starting to affect your life negatively, it's worth it to get the blood work.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you
for all the years with me.
Thank you. We just love you.
I love you too.
We're so thankful
we love you.
That you have been amazing for us.
Well, thank you.
People love to say, Dave Glover sent us.
Look at those shoulders on him.
He looks great.
They're always like, and they always say, is he as cool in real life as he is on the radio?
You're like, no, he's like,
actually, yeah. Like, and they're like, ugh. They're like, I knew it.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Rach. Thank you, guys.
Well, so, congratulations. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we appreciate it so much.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
All right, DGS on a Tuesday. Dave taking off to head to the ballpark. Matt Pauly's already there, and he's popping in to talk a little ball. So we got like 4 minutes, Matt, to talk a little ball. How you doing?
I'm good.
Of course, we got more than that coming up on Rush Hour Sports.
Yeah, so. You just wasted like 10 seconds asking how I was doing. Nobody cares how I'm doing.
Yeah, they do. Everybody loves you, Matt Pauly.
I took some heat. I just found out a few moments ago because I was critical of the decision not to send Mason Wynn yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And there were that rankled a few feathers, I found out when I got to the ballpark today.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I saw, you know, we texted about it last night. I tended to agree with your take, so I guess they'd be mad at me too, even though I haven't voiced it yet. Now I'm going to, just simply because of the circumstance. It would have been a close play. It would have required a relay because the throw was offline, and the cutoff man did cut it, mostly because nothing was happening. He probably would have had to offer up a relay. But considering the circumstances and all the things that lined up, I still agree with you, dude. I think good runner who had a great jump. That's the tying run late in the game. Even if you're thrown out at home, you'll have a runner on second base because the batter in that case, for Maine, would have advanced to second base on the play at the plate. So I felt like the risk would have been worth the reward. I get what Ollie said. He talked about it on Gas House today, and he said in looking at the replays, it was a good hold. And I don't disagree. I think that both things can be true. I would have pushed it there. I think you were right.
Well, thank you. And I wasn't like upset about it. It was one of those like 51-49 kind of things that I would, maybe it was a little bit more than that. But yeah. The point is, I don't think it was a bad decision per se. It was just I understand the reasoning behind it.
Yeah.
But I would have gone with the other one.
Yeah. That's it. I don't think it's not an angry thing because no. I understand why you would say, whoa, we only have one out, you know, first and third. But part of my thinking on that too, Matt, is who's coming up? And, you know, your options weren't going to be good, whether you stuck with Jimmy Crooks, which they did. And by the way, we'll talk about this later under Rush Hour. I actually want to take the managers back. I thought letting Crooks hit was the right move there. And not because he's a young player that needs that experience, but there's a practical baseball reason that he should have gotten that opportunity. And it's because he doesn't hit ground balls, which means the likelihood of a double play that would have ended the inning is low.
Yeah, so but he strikes out.
Right, but he's also got a 66% air contact rate. So if he hits it, it's probably in the air, which is what you need in that spot. And a strikeout's okay. A double play ends the inning. So I actually think Ollie, even though I appreciate his honesty in rethinking it, I think he made the right call there.
Okay. I can take either stuff. I was looking at some of the numbers. I'm bringing this up right now. So, Jim, and that's a close and late situation.
Yeah.
So we can go both sides here. Jimmy Crooks, 294 hitter with a 988 OPS in close and late, but also 10 strikeouts and 17 at-bats in close and late.
Like I said, a strikeout with one out is better than a ground ball. Double play, you're done. So, and Torres hits a lot of ground balls. So I don't know. I got the managers back there. We will expand on that. We will hear from the manager and talk more about this on Rush Hour, buddy. Get a break.
Cool.
See ya.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.